Praise the Lord. Let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 7. And today we're looking at the natural versus the supernatural. We're going to be in chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, actually finishing chapter 7. And so let's read that together, then we'll pray, and we're going to go back and let's work through this and see what God would say to us today. Notice he says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. And if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. And Lord, we do thank you for a special day for the moms. I pray, God, that you would bless them in a special way today. But God, we thank you, Lord, that you are always our Father. And that, Lord, as we gather together today to hear from you, Lord, you're going to feed us and you're going to teach us. And I pray, God, as we look at this very important doctrine in Romans about the sin nature versus the new spiritual nature, God, you would teach us. You would give us understanding of why we struggle the way we struggle with certain things, even after we're Christians. But then, Lord, you would encourage us on how to be free and how to walk in your power in the midst of it. So I pray, God, you would set people free today. I pray you would give understanding to what's going on in the struggle some here today are going through. But God, I pray most of all that you would set your children free today by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, we just pray you would teach us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Natural versus the supernatural. Guys, this is another one of those hugely foundational things we find in the book of Romans. As a matter of fact, so foundational, probably most of you know this. And that is, we have two natures in our body when we give our life to Christ. We have the sin nature and we have the new born again nature. Now, before we give our life to the Lord, it's just the sin nature. That's all we have. But after we receive the Lord, we now have two natures, the sin nature and the born again nature. And you probably know that, but I'm hoping that today as we go through this, you'll have an understanding of how these two war against each other and the battle that's going on in you this morning. You see, a lot of you guys are having an inward battle right now, and some of you don't understand it. You understand the old nature, you might even understand the new nature, but you don't know why as a Christian you're still struggling with those same thoughts. Why you're still struggling to do those same things that you were set free from earlier, and there's still a temptation. Listen, here's the bottom line. The flesh will be with you until the day that you die. That is the old sin nature. So what you've done is you simply added a new nature to it, and now the two are there together. The old one hasn't died. You have to put it to death, but even as you put it to death, all it takes is a small amount of feeding and any opportunity, and guess what the flesh does? It springs to life. Anybody experienced that? You see, the Bible says that the sin nature is always pulling us down. It is a, I guess you would say, a spiritual law that as long as we're in these bodies, we're always being pulled down. It's a lot like gravity. It's about a pulling that goes beyond us and pulls us down even though we're trying to be pulled up, and sometimes with very bad results. When I was about 4 years old, I was watching my favorite TV show, or one of my favorite TV shows. As a four-year-old, you have certain things you like. And I remember watching this, and it was, I think the show was called Ripcord. I don't remember the name of it, but it was a show about people that jumped out of airplanes. Now, I've never seen any old replays. I never know anything about it. I mean, it's like the show just like disappeared off the face of the planet. So it must not have been very good to anybody but a four-year-old, but I loved it. And they would jump out of the plane, you know, they rip cord, you know, they pull their rip cord and all this kind of stuff. And I actually have no desire to jump out of a plane today. But as a four-year-old, that seemed like the coolest thing in the world. So I just finished a really good episode, watched them jumping out of the plane, yelling rip cord. I ran downstairs to tell my mom about it. And when I got downstairs, she was down in the basement, which was a lower unfinished area, all concrete, like kind of like a coal stove. We kept all of our coal down there, you know, concrete floors, old wooden steps. And as I started going down the steps, I was running to tell her about the episode. I didn't realize that not the sharp part, but the flat back part of a nail had slowly worked up in one of the stairs there. So my sock caught it as I was heading down. And right as I was screaming, I was going to yell, tell all mom about the episode. I went, ripcord! And my sock got caught and I went flying through the air, landed face first, boom, right into the stove and smashed right into it. And it was one of those just old normal kitchen stoves. But I can tell you, it didn't feel good. And so the whole thing, you know, kind of see the stars when I'm laying there. So mom runs over to me real quick and turns me over. She says, son, what's wrong? Mark, what happened? And I just looked up at her and I said, no kidding. I said, my chute didn't open. That's what I told her. I don't know why. I don't know what I was thinking. I probably wasn't thinking. My brain was halfway in my, you know, knocked around or whatever. And while that's a funny story, it wasn't so funny at the time with the blue nose and, you know, the face turning blue and all. But while it's a funny story, it makes a real picture of this spiritual principle that we're looking at today. You see, although I didn't plan on flying down those steps face first and hitting that stove, gravity had different plans. And because I gave opportunity for my flesh to fall down those stairs, running in socks that were loose, a nail that I didn't realize it wasn't quite nailed down, it caught me and I flew to the ground. Because gravity's going to work whether I know it's going to work or I believe it or not. It's always at work. Well, the same thing is true with spiritual gravity. And that is connected to the sin nature. Whenever the sin nature is at play, if we give it an opportunity, it will always cause us to stumble. It will always cause us to fall, and it will always pull us downward. That's the bottom line. Now, according to Webster's Dictionary, the definition of gravity is this: the force that causes things to fall towards the earth. That is, gravity is what holds us down and pulls us down to the earth, even like when I fell down those stairs. And although we need this in the natural realm, or else we would just all float out into space. You realize if there wasn't gravity, we would just all start floating out into heaven. That wouldn't be a good thing. So on this earth, gravity is a good thing. But in the spiritual realm, gravity can be devastating when it comes to the sin nature. Because it's constantly pulling on us. And if we don't understand that, first of all, and we recognize, why is it I'm constantly struggling? Why is it those thoughts keep coming back in my mind? Why is it I want to do what's wrong naturally rather than what's right? Because spiritual gravity is at work whether you know it or not. Whether you believe it, I don't have to believe in gravity for gravity to pull me down. Is everybody with me? The same thing is true with spiritual gravity in the earthly realm of the sin nature. It's going to pull us down. And so we have to understand it, and then we have to learn how to defeat it. Now, again, in the first part of chapter 7, what Paul did, he shows that while God's law is good, as believers, we've been set free from the law to walk in grace. You remember that? We covered that last week. Yet now in this last part of chapter 7, we're going to see that although we've been set free from the law, our flesh or natural life is still very much at play. And that natural life is what I'm referring to as kind of this spiritual gravity or flesh that's always pulling us down. And again, even right now, some of you guys have that spiritual gravity at work. I mean, you've come to church and probably some thoughts popped in your mind you wish weren't there. Listen, the same thing is true for me. This is one of the things that this particular teaching in Romans does for us. It sets us free in understanding that we're not weird. We're very normal. Listen, if evil thoughts pop in your mind, you're normal. You're not a bad Christian. You're simply in a battle. And sometimes it's your own flesh having the wicked thoughts because you're by sin nature, you've had those thoughts. Sometimes it's the enemy throwing those thoughts in there. Sometimes the world inflames it. It's been so bad. Listen, there are times sometimes as your pastor, I've had over the years, where maybe in the middle of a worship set, a thought pops in my mind that I know is evil. It shouldn't be there. I have to fight that right then. I have to deal with that at that moment. I can remember. It's only happened once that I can remember of in all the years of teaching. But I remember one time during a teaching, an evil thought so clearly coming in my mind, even having to fight it away to finish the teaching. And why do I share that with you? I don't share that with you necessarily to share my weaknesses with you. I share that with you to let you know you're not weird if that's happening. You're very normal if that's happening. Here's the bottom line. When it happens to the believer, we have to make a choice. Am I going to take that thought captive and use the power of the Holy Spirit and the things we're going to talk about today, or do I allow my flesh to run free? Because if you're thinking that by giving your life to the Lord, now you're not going to have any more temptation, you're wrong. You're going to have temptation. It's what you do with that temptation. You know, sin is sin. Temptation is temptation. And temptation is not sin. Where people mess up is they allow the temptation to move into the sin realm. The Bible says we deal with it immediately, right on the spot. The moment it hits, you need to develop a practice of saying, I'm gonna deal with this right now. Father, forgive me. I mean, just deal with it right then. I remember hearing a story about Charles Spurgeon, great evangelist, many years back, who was so sensitive to when evil thoughts or wrong thoughts or sin entered his life that he would stop whatever he was doing, wherever he was, and get it right. And literally, they say he would be walking down the sidewalk in a busy street and just stop. You know, oh, you know, Charles must have sinned, right? Or whatever, you know. He would just stop, and he would not leave there until he'd prayed and gotten right with the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that. I'm not saying you have to stop in Kroger line and say, I'll pay you a minute. I have to pray for some sins. Oh, Father. You know, I'm not saying that, all right? I'm saying, would to God that we all had that sensitivity when those thoughts come in, when those things happen. Because if we were that rapid to deal with it, we wouldn't find ourselves falling. And see, this is what Paul is going to deal with today. He's going to talk about the fact that we're born the first time with a sin nature. It causes us to be pulled like gravity towards sin, but we've now been given a new nature, and the new nature removes that spiritual gravity and allows us to float heavenward, if you will. And the one that we feed the most is the one that's going to thrive. Probably most of you ate breakfast. Now, I know some of you are not breakfast eaters. I realize that. But I bet most of us in this room are probably breakfast eaters of some type or not. And if you're not, I can guarantee you by the time we get to the end of the service, you're going to be thinking very seriously about lunch, you know. And Mark, please don't be long-winded today. It's time to go, right? Because our flesh lets us know that it's time to eat. And how many of us take really good care of our flesh when it comes to mealtime? We do good with that one, don't we? If it's time to eat, we don't deny that. You know, unless there's a special fasting or prayer or whatever, and even then it's difficult. We take real good care of our flesh. Why? Because there's a strong gravity. There's a natural pull to make sure the flesh is well taken care of. But guys, here's the thing to understand. When it comes to the spiritual realm, there's a gentle nudge. There's not a strong gravity. God will pull us as believers. He will say, come, I want you to spend time with me in the Word. Come on, I want you to spend time in prayer. But it's a lot easier to go, I don't have time, or not today, or not right now. But I'll tell you what, when my flesh is hungry, I find a way to work that sandwich in. You know what I mean? Even if it's driving down the road, eating that sandwich while I'm driving down the road, I'm going to make sure that flesh gets fed. Guys, if we had that kind of desire in the spiritual realm, the problem is one is a very natural pull. The other is something we have to choose to do. We have to say, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to set aside time to seek the Lord. I'm going to spend time in prayer. And I'm not talking about it being something that's always difficult or something you don't want to do. God gives the desire to do it. But you've got to feed that spirit. And if you don't feed the spirit and the flesh gets more food than the spirit, and I'm not talking about earthly food. Just because of how much you eat isn't going to make you sin more. I'm talking about the picture of the flesh being fed. And that is if you allow all the stimulation of the world and all the shows and all the movies and all the way the world thinks and all that, if that's really where your life is and you're dominated by that and you're not dominated by the things of the spirit, then you're going to live a defeated life as a Christian. And you're going to live a carnal or fleshly life as a Christian, not because you're bad, not because you're evil, not because you don't want to do what's right, but you don't have the strength in the spirit that you need. And so Paul's going to talk about the same battle that he had, the two natures, the gravity that's fighting against him. He doesn't use that language, but the same idea behind it. And he's going to show this is a natural propensity that we have. And yet, even when we desire in our mind to do what's right, it still pulls us in that direction. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, guys, we were sent down that road. And that's why we have to be born again, not just to get into heaven, which is the most important thing, but you've got to be born again to get the new nature and to be able to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And guys, note this as well. I want to say, even before we get into this, when it comes to the old nature, the sinful self, the Bible does not give us a rehabilitation program. It doesn't say, okay, now here's how you rehab your flesh. You know, you do this, you do that, you do this many, you know, whatever, you say that many prayers, you read the Bible that long. It doesn't give us a list of things to do where suddenly now our flesh is reformed and the flesh is no longer evil. No, the flesh will stay evil till the day you die, no matter what you do. Jeremiah said, the heart is desperately wicked. Think of what the word desperate means. That means if you give your flesh the opportunity, it will seek out ways to sin. Ever been left alone for too long in a place you shouldn't have been in? Maybe you find yourself house-sitting or you're on some trip and nobody's around, you're all by yourself. Listen, when I go somewhere, even vacation, if I have a moment where there's a lot of extra time and nobody's around, my flesh will begin to look for something to stimulate it. What can I do? Again, there's nothing wrong in things that are okay, but you can see how just by very nature, you start looking for something. And the problem is, if we look too hard and too long and we're not disciplined, we find ourselves in places we shouldn't be. And if we're not walking in the Spirit, guys, we're falling away from the Lord. And so this is a huge, huge foundational principle that we need to understand today. And that is every one of us, foundationally, mankind, foundationally has a sin base. That is why when man tries to decide what's right and wrong apart from God, it will never work. We start from a tainted base. We start from a tainted viewpoint. We start from tainted mentality. We start from tainted opinions. Everything mankind does, apart from God and His Word, starts wrong. And that's why when you see the world deciding what's right, what's wrong, setting the moral standards, doing whatever society says they should do, if the Word of God is not used, you realize this is already way off base. It's already doomed to destruction because we start from a twisted base in our mind. The way we think, how we live, everything is tainted. Now, lest you get in despair, this is the good news of the cross. Because of Jesus, we now have a new nature, and they're fighting the old one going, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Stop that. What's going on here, right? And we see the old picture, you know, of the good guy and the bad guy on the shoulder. That really is kind of a picture of what's going on the inside. And then we have to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to choose you. And note this, it's not just a matter of choosing the Lord. We have to take the next step and empower the good guy. How do we empower the good guy? The Word of God and prayer. That's how we empower the good guy. And Paul's going to get into this. Let's jump into it. Notice Paul, he starts here in 14. He says, well, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Again, he's been talking about the law in the first part of 7 and talking about the fact that the law is good, but since we're sinners, we can't live by the law. We're no longer under it. We're freed from it. He says, so we know that it's spiritual, but I'm fleshly, that is carnal, and I'm sold under sin. Now, guys, note the first thing Paul notes here. That is, the law is spiritual and the law is supernatural. The flesh is natural, not supernatural. The law is good and the natural is bad because our body does one thing and our mind's telling us to do something else. And so the point he makes, he says, our flesh has been sold under sin is the way Paul says it. That means that your flesh, apart from God, is given over to the sin nature. If God's not involved, it will only want to sin. Now, you may do some good things here and there. I'm not saying that. I think you can be taught good morals and you can, around your society, be restrained by the laws of the land, so to speak. But the bottom line is that the sin nature is going to take over if we let the flesh go. You know, I found the older I get, when I was younger, it was easy to not worry so much about my body. I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't have to worry about, you know, where hair grew and where it didn't. You know, I didn't have to worry about how much I exercised or didn't exercise. I didn't even have to worry about how much I eat. I could eat whatever, and it seemed, you know, you're young and you're those early teen years and everything. But as you get older, we all know that changes, doesn't it? And it takes more care. Well, this is the same thing that's happening in the spiritual realm. If we just let our spirit go, we give our life to the Lord, and we say, all right, I'm saved. I'm in the Lord. And we don't do anything about it. Guys, we will live a fleshly Christian life. Are you saved? Yes. But what's the fruit of your life? How are you living? You know, sometimes I'll see Christians. They've been a Christian for 20 years, and they're still wearing diapers spiritually. There's no maturity. There's no growth. Why? Because they just got saved, and they just kind of put it in neutral. Well, I'm not going to hell. I'm not worried about that. I don't really necessarily want to apply myself in the Word and prayer, so I'm not really going anywhere. If you do that, then what'll happen is you'll roll backwards, so to speak. It's like a rock on a hillside. You'll roll backwards because gravity will pull you. Yes, you're still in the kingdom. Yes, you're still a believer, but you're going backwards, not forward. And so we have to focus in on saying, God, I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to spend some time with you. Not legalism, not law, not trying to work our way into the kingdom, but simply feeding the stronger spiritual life, making it stronger rather, knowing that the flesh is sold under sin. If we let it go, it's going to have its way. So Paul says, that's me. There's a picture of me. And look what he says. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that is what I make up my mind. The word literally means what I determine to do is what the word means there. He says, what I determine to do, that I don't practice, but what I hate, that I end up doing. Isn't that amazing? You ever been there? See, this is why this is liberating today, guys. This is very freeing. You may think, wow, this is kind of, I don't know, I'm learning about gravity and the sin nature and pulled down, and why even try it? No, this is why it's liberating. I'm simply stating facts about where we are being pulled down by the sin nature. But when you first understand that, now you understand why you're having these struggles. It makes sense why your thoughts are going where they shouldn't go. It makes sense why you're doing things you shouldn't do. That's half the battle. You know, recognizing it. It's not that you don't want to do what's right. Paul said, in my mind, I want to do what's right. My will, my choice, I want to serve God. But I'm failing in it because the flesh is fighting against me, which means Paul needs to shore up his spirit so that it has victory. And by the way, guys, don't miss the fact this is Paul. This is the mighty Paul the Apostle. If Paul had these struggles, don't think you're weird when you do. We all battle with the same things. Now, there may be different propensities and temptations to certain sins, but we all battle. with the same things. Your pastor and everyone else, we battle with that. And if Paul the apostle did it, we're going to do that as well. The good news is Paul found victory, which means we can find victory as well. And notice this, Paul speaks here in the present tense. He doesn't say what I used to do, I don't do anymore. He's saying what I'm doing, I don't want to do. He's being very, listen, this would be a very open and honest teaching by Paul the apostle. I think it would be very tempting if you were a man like Paul not to tell people your weaknesses. Don't let them know that I struggle. Hi, I'm Paul. I've written most of the New Testament, and I'm going to tell you how you can walk in heaven before you get there. Let's open our Bibles to what I wrote. Paul didn't do that. Paul was real. And Paul said, look, I'm going to share with you guys. I mean, if you think about it, you have a conference. Who would you want your conference in that day? Paul the apostle, Peter, James, you know all the guys. That's a major conference. We're going to go to that conference. And all of a sudden, Paul, the one that everybody looks to the most, he stands up for his portion of teaching. This is Paul's moment now. His moment in the conference. He's going to teach on the struggle that he's having. And he gets up and says, guess what, guys? All the same battles that you're having today, I'm having right now. Thoughts popping in my mind, wanting to do things I shouldn't want to do. He said, that's going on right now. There's a battle raging. And I want to share that with you guys because I want you to understand that we're all the same way. And this is what we have to first understand it, but then we have to do this to fight against it and to have victory over it. So Paul's being very open. He's being very vulnerable here. He's exposing himself. He's not trying to present himself as the super saint that floats from place to place with that glowy halo everywhere he goes. He's saying, I'm a man just like you guys. And this is what I deal with. What I want to do, I don't do. You know, what I don't want to practice, what I hate, I'm doing. And so, you know, the bottom line is, have you ever been there? Again, we've all been there. We know that. And Paul's being honest, saying, I've been there too. What I will to do, even what I determined to do. Now look, Paul was a legalist of legalists. Remember he said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was born of the stock of, you know, this Benjamin and you know, circumcised the eighth day. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. If this guy, Paul, with all of his strong will and determination, could not walk with God without the power of the Holy Spirit, what chance do we think we have? There is no chance. If you do not have God's power in your life, if you're not asking God to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit, you are going to fail. And if you're sitting here this morning failing, realizing that's the norm, unless you turn to the Lord, then you have the power to be free. Notice he makes a point about the law here. He says, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it's good. Notice this proves the law is good. How? It proves the law is right and needed because we naturally do what's wrong. So the law is needed to keep us in line and show us that we're doing what's wrong. It tells us what's right and gets us back where we need to be. So Paul says, no, this doesn't mean the law is bad. As he said earlier in chapter 7, the law is good. He says, I'm bad. For I know that in me, look at this, look what Paul says, Paul the apostle, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, he's not talking about in the spirit, walking with the Lord, being right with God, he's talking about when we've allowed the flesh to go, when we're sold under, we're just giving it over and we're not doing anything. He says, in me, in the flesh, this is what I know, check this out, nothing good dwells, note that, nothing. The scripture says there's none of us that is good, no, not one. Remember the man who came to Jesus and he said, good master, what must I do to be saved? It was the rich young ruler. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? Now, Jesus wasn't doing that because he wasn't good. He wasn't doing that because he was saying, well, I'm not good. He was saying, why are you saying good master? Are you recognizing that I'm God? Because you know the Bible teaches no one's good but God. That is in the flesh by sin nature. Until you get the born-again nature or learned maybe some good morals apart from that. By nature, we're not going to do what's right. Why do you call me good? He was basically challenging the man, are you recognizing I'm God? Or what are you doing here? And Paul's saying, look, in my flesh, I realize this. Nothing good dwells. This is a huge step for us to take as believers to grasp this because a lot of times I think we try to be good. You know, I I'm not going to come here on Sunday mornings and just completely, you know, be like I would be in my home or you know, walk around in a robe or something like that. Or, you know, but I want to do my best to be who I am here and the same as I am at home. And that's how we should all want to live, which means if I do that, I'm going to be vulnerable to you guys. You're going to see me for who I am. Now, the temptation is, but wait a minute, Mark, you're the pastor. You get up in front of them. Don't tell certain stories. Don't do certain things. Don't share that struggle. If you do, then they're going to know, well, they'll know that you're just human. You don't want them to know that, do you? Come on, you're the pastor, right? Listen, I put it on myself to put this back on you guys because some of you guys feel like at work and other places, that there's some, listen, we need to represent the Lord. Don't get me wrong. But just be real. Just be real. You know, we have the same struggles that the world has, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit, the born-again nature now to fight against it. And so Paul, being real with the congregation, he says, nothing good dwells in me, in my flesh, that is. He's not saying that I don't want to do what's right. I've got God working my life. I'm the apostle. I want to walk with the Lord. He says, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. That is in the sin nature. I can't make it happen. I can use some of that Pharisee of Pharisees self-determination, but it only goes so long. And some of you guys have tried to live right for God in your own strength, and you've made it, you know, a good distance. Good for you. But you're not going to last. You're going to crash and burn if you're doing this in your own strength. It's got to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to learn how to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have to ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit and depend on Him. He says, verse 17, but now it is no longer I who do this, but sin that dwells in me. In other words, I don't really want to do this. My mind doesn't want to do this, but sin is doing it. Now, again, this doesn't excuse Paul. Paul's not using this as an excuse. Paul's not saying, well, I was born that way, so I can't help it. Did you know that's a legitimate statement? For somebody to say they're born that way, fill in the sin. It doesn't matter what sin it is. Fill in the blank. I was born that way. Yeah, you were born a sinner. That's really true. But now you have a choice. Are you going to repent and walk like God's word says to walk? Or are you going to allow the sin to remain sold, your flesh rather, to remain sold under sin? I think people understanding when they say, well, I can't help it, it's just how I am naturally. We need to understand that that's right. You really are naturally going to desire different sins, whatever your propensity is. For me, it was alcohol or whatever the case might be. For you, it might be something else. It might be you're tempted to steal something. When the boss isn't around, there's the drawer and there's the money, and you're just tempted to grab that money. Listen, you can fill in the blank on what the sin is. And were you born that way? Yes, you were. But now it's time to repent and to be reborn a second time, the way that God says to be born, and then to live the way that God says to live. And then it comes down to choices. Do I choose to let my flesh do what my flesh wants to do, or do I choose to do what God's word says I'm supposed to do? And the power comes by the Spirit. See, this is the struggle that Paul is fleshing out here, to use a phrase. And it's the same one that we have to work with as well. God doesn't use it as an excuse. God, you know, He can't look at me and say, well, Mark, I know you're born a sinner. I see you, you know, and messed up in drugs and alcohol. I see that, and that's where I was before I came to Christ. My testimony. God could have looked at me and said, all right, I see that, but you know what, Mark, you were born that way. You can't help that. But He came to me and said, Mark, I want you to be born again. You're born a sinner, and your propensity is drugs and alcohol, and you've gone the wrong way. Now I want you to obey my word, because the Bible says you can't go to heaven if you're doing that. And if you'll receive what I've done on the cross, ask forgiveness of your sin, and receive my power, I'll set you free. And I'll give you a new path to walk. And I'll give you the power to do it if you'll seek me for the power. Now remember, Mark, the flesh is always going to be there. You know, it's interesting. It's kind of a weird thought to think. And I don't have any desire for alcohol. But knowing my propensities in my past, if I let my flesh go, I would probably start drinking again. Yes, your pastor said that. Do I want to do that? No. Do I think that's wrong? Yes. Do I want to walk with God in holiness until I'm in the kingdom? You better believe it. Am I going to do my best to depend on the Holy Spirit to walk right with God? Yes. But the bottom line is, if I let my flesh go, I go back to the old Mark. And I think sometimes we as believers, when we get out of the Spirit, we start living by the flesh, we see those old things come up that we thought were gone. Ever been there? I thought that was gone. Newsflash, it'll never go. It's there forever. You have to kill it. There's no reformation of the flesh. You can't practice things. You kill it. You die. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you take up your cross. You die daily, actually. Take up your cross and follow me. You have to put it to death. That's the only way. Flesh cannot be reformed. It simply has to be put to death. And so Paul, again, sharing this struggle. He says, I know that that's there. I want to do it. In my flesh, I want to do it, but I can't. My mind's there, but my body is not if I don't trust God. Now, he'll get to trusting God in a moment. Look at verse 19. For the good that I will to do, I don't do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. It keeps coming back, the same thing over and over. I don't want to do this. If I allow it to, it will. But the bottom line is, I don't want to allow it to. I want to walk in the Spirit. He says, Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He's recognizing this force behind the scenes. Note this, and here's the key. He's talked about the law at the first part of chapter 7 and the fact that we're freed from it, but it's always there. Look at verse 21. He now introduces a new law. He says, I find then a law. I have that underlined. A law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Now understand this, when Paul is talking about his will, he's talking about his mental processes. He's saying, in my mind, I've made up my mind, I will not watch that. I will not go there. I will not do that. That's good. We need to purpose in our heart where we need to put up boundaries and guard ourselves. But what he's saying is, that's not enough. If all we do is will it, he says, I find there's another law, a law in my members, a law that is warring against me in my flesh. Look at verse 21. The law, evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. It's a whole other law that's at work behind the scenes, even when I'm trying to do what's good. Notice verse 22, for I delight in the law of God. That is, I love God's word. I want to be obedient according to the inward man. But here's the clincher. Look at this. I see another law. This is that law of the flesh and the sin nature. I see another law in my members. That is my body, warring against the law of my mind. What I want to do, it's fighting against it and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Guys, again, Paul's saying, I want to do what's right, but there's this evil twin. Maybe you can try that one day. You know, I didn't mean to do that. That was my evil twin. You know, no, it's not an excuse. I'm being silly. It's not an excuse. We're still accountable, aren't we? And we're still held accountable. But he's saying the bottom line is that this sin nature is just a decision away from me going back into that. The word warring here, he says that it's warring within me. It's a picture of a tug of war. We've all seen tug of wars, right? You have the people on both sides and it's going back and forth, right? Whatever. What do you want to do in a tug of war? You want to win, right? And you want the most strength on the side that you're on. So Mark, what do? I'm in a tug of war this morning. I feel what you're saying. I don't really want to admit it because I don't want to tell people that I struggle with those things. I'm a Christian. Well, you're going to struggle, okay? But the bottom line is, then how do I win? What's the victory? You get more weight on the side that's good rather than the side that's bad. How do I get more pull and strength and weight over here? You add the Holy Spirit and prayer. You say, God, I need you to help me. I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Yes, we can do our part. We cut out those things that we know we shouldn't be involved in. Guys, we've got to be getting God's power. I remember as a kid seeing these tug of wars, you know, and you're like, have them on the school ground. We did a lot of stuff when I was in school we don't do today. I don't think they still do battle ball and stuff anymore, right? Dodgeball, they do that anymore? It's gotten too rough or something, I don't know. Man, they used to beat me to death with that game. Boom, boom, boom. And I was little and fast, so I didn't get hit. I got out of it a lot more than other guys. But when you got hit, man, I mean, you were like big red whelp on you or whatever. I was thinking about going pro, but I didn't, and I'm just kidding. But then they have the tug of war, right? And we would always look for the big guy on the playground. And if we said, you know, over here, we knew when he got in there, you knew you were going to win. Guys, listen, God is the big guy on the playground. And if you simply say, God, I need your help. I've got this tug of war going, and I'm not winning this thing. I'm getting pulled from side to side, and I could fall forward and collapse. I don't want that. I want to win. He says, then ask for my help. Okay, Father, help me. How do we do that? Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. Give me your power. And then time in the word, time in prayer, away from the things that'll make you stumble. Listen, we do have a part. It's by the power of God, not by might nor by power of man, but by my spirit, says the Lord. But we do have a part in that. We have to separate ourselves from the things that would cause us to stumble. And then we say, now God, give me your power. You know, if you have something in your life that you're fighting against, get away from it. Don't give it opportunity, no opportunity for the flesh. Then ask for God's power and God will help you. So that there's that tug of war. And it's interesting the language Paul uses here because notice again, he talks about this captivity that he's in. He says, it brings me into captivity. That's a prisoner of war word. It means to be taken captive as a prisoner of war, a POW. And exactly what the enemy does. The Bible says we are taken captive by him to do his will if we allow our flesh to go. So this prisoner of war, he says, I've been taken a prisoner of war to the law of sin, which is in my members. I don't want to do it, but it's taken me captive. And so now I have no choice. See, guys, here's the really cool thing. We go from, if we trust in God's power, we go from a POW to a POWER. God's power. And then we're set free. And this is the point that Paul's going to make. Now notice he spent all this time talking about being very vulnerable, talking about the struggles that he has, the things he doesn't want to do, he does, all this, the mighty Paul the Apostle, sharing openly about his struggles so that others can relate to him and he can tell them they're not weird and they're not alone and we're all in this battle together. Then look at his frustration. It comes out at verse 24, the first sentence, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Listen, this is a great place to come to. If you're not to the "oh, wretched man that I am" yet, you've still got a ways to go. Because guys, the bottom line is, apart from God and just the sin nature alone, we are wretched. It is just the truth. And the sooner we admit it, the freer we're going to be. Because here's what happens. Okay, if I'm totally wretched without God, then I'm going to quit trying to be so good and I'm going to let God be good through me. I'm going to let God's power surge through my veins. I'm going to let God live through me as I get in the Word, as I get in prayer, as I ask Him to fill me with His Holy Spirit. And now God's power works through us. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am," and note this, "who will deliver me from this body of death?" I love this because Paul didn't say, "what will deliver me from this body of death?" Not what program, how many steps do I have to take? What book do I need to read that'll tell me about my condition? He didn't say that. He didn't say, "what thing do I do to be set free from this wretched man?" Listen to what he says, "who will set me free?" Guys, I have that underlined. You know why? Because that "who" is Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that can set you free to the core. And the really cool thing is, he can set you free right now in this room this morning. By his power, he can set you free. Who will deliver me? Again, the desperate cry of a miserable failure. Do you guys feel like a miserable failure this morning? Some of you probably do. Some of you right now feel like you're a miserable failure. Listen, you're in a good place. I'm not trying to be facetious. That's where I had to come to. It wasn't until I realized what a miserable failure I was in my efforts. Listen, I'm the top person. I tried to walk with God in my own strength and make everything just right. I would watch how long I prayed. I timed it. If I didn't read the Word of God for a certain amount of time, I was a failure as a Christian. Guys, that's legalism. That's bondage. I put myself in bondage as a baby Christian, not knowing any better. And finally, after years and years of that, I finally just collapsed. And God, I can't. How can I keep this pace up? I can't pray this much every day, read this much. I can't live this way. He said, "now you're getting it. Yes, I want you in prayer. Yes, I want you in the Word. Yes, I want you walking with me. But you've got to let me do it by my power. Just relax and enjoy me and spend time with me. I'll do it. I'll develop your prayer life. I'll develop your time in the Word. I'll develop you as a believer. Just follow me closely. Love me. Be filled with the Spirit. Trust me to move in your life." A wretched man that Mark was and is. And Paul came to that same thing. It's a great place to be. And if you're there this morning, praise the Lord. Because now you need to say, "all right, I recognize that I can't do this, that I'm wretched. Lord, you've got to help me." And this is where you begin to cry out for the Lord to help you. "A wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Wretched means the most miserable of people. And again, notice this. There's three things that have to happen here, guys. As we work toward the end of this, there's three things that have to happen in order for us to be free in this. And we're not done. We've got another verse to go. But I want you to note this. First of all, there's realization. Secondly, there's desperation. And then thirdly, there's supplication. That is, you've got to first realize that your flesh, apart from God, is wretched. Once God shows you that and you realize it, now you're free to move on. Until you get there, you're stuck. And you're going to be stuck in legalism and trying to be good. First, realize that you're a wretched man. Now, after you realize it, in desperation, cry out to the Lord. There's desperation and supplication, prayer. "God, you've got to do this. I realize that I can't do this. You have to do it." And you cry out, and then God will do it. Because he's the one that delivers. But guys, again, the key is, it's the Lord that's delivering. And so he says, "who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Christ Jesus, our Lord." There it is. Jesus is the one who delivers me from this body of death. Not my efforts, not my classes, not my self-help books. He says, "so then with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So the bottom line is, that's always going to be there. The sin nature is just lurking. But you know, but my mind is with the things of God. Guys, I want to finish with an illustration that we talked about once in the past a few weeks ago, and that is one of the forms of Roman capital punishment. One of the forms of Roman capital punishment was what they called the body of death. See, that's why Paul's using that terminology in writing to who? The Romans. What was the body of death? Here's what they did. This is so, listen, you think people talk about how humane the death penalty is in our nation today and have problems with it. Imagine this. They would take a dead body, and they would strap you to it where you couldn't move, tied down where you couldn't move, that dead body, face to face. And they would allow that dead body to rot. And as the dead body rotted, the rot would move into your body and you would slowly rot to death with it and eventually die. Now, why am I being so gross and graphic? Because Paul did. I'm not trying to gross you out. I'm using the analogy that Paul gave. When Paul said, "Oh, wretched man," he's saying, "I'm that dead body, my flesh. It is that stinky. It is that ugly." And he said, "I'm strapped to it. I can't get away from it. It is the sin nature." He said, "Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I'm face to face with my stinky sin every day. There it is again. I don't want to do that. I just did it. There it is again. I don't want to do that. I just did it. This is horrible. Who's going to set me free from this cycle?" Praise be to God for Jesus Christ, who through the power of the cross and the power of his Spirit is the one that will cut the ropes free and help you bury your flesh. Now, guys, the reality is you have to, again, keep the flesh buried throughout your life. It's always there ready to resurrect, so to speak. But if you will simply ask God to forgive you and say, "God, you've got to do this by your power. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Seek God for his power. Put your flesh to death. Get rid of everything that feeds that flesh and begin to feed the Spirit. Spend time in the Word, time in prayer, time with God in worship. Grow the spiritual side. Make it stronger than the fleshly side. You will walk in victory." See, when I started this message, it almost sounded like I was saying we have to all walk defeated and we have to all, because we're all going to always keep sinning, so just give up. No, no, no. You can walk in freedom. Not sin free totally until heaven. There'll always be those struggles and stumbles, but for the most part in your life, you can turn away from sin except for those occasional struggles, and that only happens through the power of the Lord. But if you let God do that, God will give you victory in your life. You do not have to live in sin. You don't have to walk the way you've been walking. You don't have to let that stinky flesh be strapped to you any longer. It's time to put it to death. And guys, I want to pray as we finish up for God to set you free. Some of you think, "Man, I'm being pulled down right now by the gravity of my sin. And I'm seeing it face to face, and it's time to deal with it. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Trust God by his power to set you free. But Mark, what's my part? Well, your part is get away from all the stuff that's making you stumble. You know, if you don't fill up your tank, you can't drive. But if you keep putting gas in the tank and you're feeding that flesh, wherever your stumble is, looking at those magazines, watching those shows, grabbing that drink, whatever it might be, wherever your struggle is, if you keep doing that, your fleshly car is going to keep on just riding down the highway just fine. So you're going to have to stop giving it gas. You got to shut those avenues off. That's our part as believers. Once we do that, it's, "Lord, forgive us. And now you fill me with your Holy Spirit. And by your power, cut me free from this wretched body of death. And I will follow you." Let's pray. Lord, that's the desire this morning. That's my desire, Lord. And I know it's the desire of many in this room. God, to not live according to the flesh, to not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. God, some this morning, right now in here, I know they feel pulled down by the gravity of sin, by the weight of sin. Maybe even that graphic illustration that Paul gives us here in Romans of the Roman body of death. Lord, maybe that's something that's what they feel like. They're facing it every day. They're saying, "Here I am in church, but I know what's really going on." God, set them free today. I pray you would move in our hearts to confess our sin, Lord, to turn from it, to put everything out of our life that would cause us to stumble in that. And then, Lord, you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we could walk in power. And I encourage you to do that right now. Begin to ask God to forgive you and purpose in your heart to do away with those things that fill the tank of the flesh. Do away with them. You don't need them. The sin that so easily besets. And let's set our eyes on Christ. Let's set our eyes on Jesus. And then begin to ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit and his power to be set free from this body of death. Father, I pray you would do that this morning. Work in your people, God. Set them free. Set us free. Set me free. Set all of us free from the body of death. Let us put it to death and keep it in the grave and walk by the Spirit, spending, Lord, time with you in your word, in prayer, seeking you, Lord God, and being filled with the Spirit. So God, we receive by faith. Fill us to overflowing. And we receive it by faith, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.